I'm still on praise and worship. I keep, every time I do it, I think, okay, I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to wrap it up. So I'm pretty sure I'm not going to wrap it up today. But the last time I talked, if you remember, I talked about this little missionary. You remember that and his story and all that? Well, today I'm going to give you a couple of things from the Bible. So we're going to dive in on praise and worship and what the Bible says about it. So we're learning that praise and worshiping God is one way to release our faith. You know you're getting a hold of this when something comes up. You're faced with an attack of sickness, an attack of lack, depression, family issues, and instead of rolling it around in your head, you go to the Word, you get you a scripture, you stop the negative talk, release your faith, and praise and worship. If you're still not doing that, it's to stay with me. You will, because you're God's kids. And He's telling us how to handle rough times. And He is the answer. So I'm going to start, if Lauren will put up Brother Copeland saying, when you pray, you lay hold of things, but when you praise, you win battles. I want to prove that to you. The victory's already won, but we have to stand our ground. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Against opposition. Praising God gets you on the other side of opposition and worshiping God. It's one of the primary ways we release our faith. It's through worship. The power of God always meets faith. Many times when people are trying to figure out their answer, other people, we can praise our way to victory. We'll prove that today. Go with me to Luke 17. Lauren, this is one of my favorites. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Gaul. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood up. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Oh, and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made you whole. Is that it, Lauren? Okay. I didn't know how far it went. So these lepers needed healing. What did they ask for? Mercy. They asked for mercy. One way that mercy moves in our life is through healing. His mercy is a healing mercy. So notice Jesus didn't walk over and pray for them. He didn't pray a prayer for them at a distance. He gave them something to do, something to obey. When you need to receive a miracle, God will involve you in your miracle by giving you something to obey. He said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. It was the priest who declared whether they had leprosy or not. He would check them over and all of that. And if it was good, and the priest would decide you could go back into society or be exiled. That's why Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. They weren't even supposed to be in the midst of that region. Jesus was basically saying this, you're healed, so go show it. And to the priest, even though at the time they couldn't even tell they were healed when they told him. Lauren, you can go ahead and show those. Now, I want to show you this. I don't mean to exploit these people, but this is what, go ahead. This is pictures of leprosy and what it does to you. Take on facial things. It's just horrible, isn't it? It's just horrible. So I want you to see where these lepers, how happy they would have been. But as they obeyed, what he said was, as they went, they were healed. So what does that say to us? Just keep going. Act like the word is true. Believe the word. No matter what you see, no matter if I pray for you and it's not insulin, just stay with me. As they went, they were cleansed. You saw where the leprosy eats off body parts, and it severs the nerve endings. One doctor I looked up, and he said the best gift he could give to the leper was pain. Because they don't. The pain lepers were cleansed of the brutal disease. No more leprosy was seen on their skin. An amazing miracle, what they received. In verse 15, one of the lepers, when he saw that he was healed, that means the process of leprosy was stopped, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Think for years, no doubt they were loud about something. If someone in society was headed their way, and they got within a certain distance of a leper, that leper was to cry out with a loud voice by law, unclean, unclean, letting people know coming their way that they were approaching someone with a contagious disease so they could warn that person. So by law, they were demanded to call out, unclean. This one, when he was healed, he called out glorifying God. So how wonderful it must have been to not say unclean anymore. He fell down on his feet at Jesus, on his face at Jesus's feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan who did not get along with Jews. Verse 17 said, can you put verse 17 back up there? And Jesus answering say, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Jesus did not see their condition change because they turned. But he knew their condition changed. He didn't doubt himself. He knew all 10 were cleansed. Can't you see that one leper following Jesus in heaven, around in heaven right now? For 2,000 years telling everybody, hey, let me tell you what Jesus did. Let me tell you what he did. I once had leprosy. This was gone, this was gone, this was gone, this was gone. And he talks about his glorious healing. Even though he was a Samaritan despised by the Jews. But 9 didn't show back up to testify or show gratitude. Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? This is the next question. But where are the 9? He was expecting them to return and give thanks. He was not pleased that they did not return to show their proper gratitude. In verse 18, they are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. He wasn't a part of the Jewish synagogue. He hadn't been taught what proper regard, how to give proper regard, and what that is to God. His heart was just so grateful and so thankful, even though he wasn't taught. Have you ever heard people say, well, my wife didn't grow up like that. She didn't know to be thankful. I call bull on that. Your heart knows when somebody's done something for you, and it knows, I gotta say something. I gotta say something. So his heart was just so grateful and thankful, even though he wasn't taught. He knew he had received that was worth being grateful for. Verse 19. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Now all the man said when he came to Jesus was he worshiped him. He didn't make a faith declaration. He didn't quote a scripture. All he did was worship Jesus. And what did Jesus call it? He said, thy faith has made you whole. He called worship faith. When we thank God, when we show gratitude, that's one way we release them. Worship is an act of gratitude. That's why it needs to be a part of our everyday life, what we're grateful for. The enemy can't steal from us what we are grateful for. Because everything God has blessed us with, the enemy is constantly busy trying to steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to steal from us everything that we have been blessed with. But gratitude keeps the enemy's hands off of it. Why? Because the enemy cannot steal what you're grateful for. The lepers in verse 14 were all cleansed, but when he came back to Jesus, he didn't use the same word. He said, "You are made whole. Your faith made you whole." There's a difference. The process of leprosy was stopped with all 10. Whole means this: entire, complete, all parts present and working as a whole. Leprosy causes fingers, toes, noses to be eaten away. Anything leprosy had destroyed on this worshiping leper was restored. He went from healing. You can worship your way to wholeness, praising God. Now, I didn't make this story up. This is not my story I'm telling. This is Jesus' story. It was God's power, but it was his faith that had initiated God's power. His act of worship initiated his wholeness. Many people don't realize that. They are waiting for God to do something for them. We are authorized to be thankful and grateful, releasing our faith through this act of praise and worship and gratitude. Things were lost will be restored. Thank you. Thank you. This man got something more than the other 9 had. The other 9 were healed as well. Wonder what the other 9 said when they saw their whole friend. He looked different than them. He had body parts put back. They might have said, "What happened to you? We were healed and cleansed, but your ears and your nose is back on. How did that happen? You look normal." Can you imagine what they thought? The whole ex-leper says, "I went back to the source of my health. I thanked him and I gave him gratitude." When Jesus says, "Where are the 9? Jesus had something more for them. He had wholeness for them also. No wonder he was displeased. Not only at the lack of gratitude, he wanted them to have wholeness. Not just have the process of the disease stopped. He wanted to put back everything the devil had stolen from them." Amen? That's our God. Because they didn't come back to receive more through praise and worship, they went without receiving the more that was available. When we show gratitude, we move into the more of what's available. Worship and gratitude and thanksgiving and praise gets us to the more of what's available. The word tells us the proper approach to God. He is worthy of a proper approach. It's good to remember who we're dealing with, the sovereign God. Lauren, Psalms, please. 104, yeah. "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and a thank offering, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and say so to him. Bless and affectionately praise his name." That's how we start. That's how we start. Now, if you don't know that, write that down. That's how we start. Go to Hebrews 4:16. "Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy." What did we say mercy was? Pardon of his healing. "And we will find grace to help us when we need it most." How do we come? We come to him boldly, worshiping. worshiping. If I have a need and need help from God, I begin to worship God as I approach Him. And then I make my request known to Him. It takes a few minutes, moments. The rest of my time is spent standing ground in faith, fighting the good fight of faith until my answer comes into this seen realm, until it manifests. Standing on the Word is as much a part of the Word as receiving a healing or a miracle is as part of the Word. Standing on the Word is scriptural. Christians may think, why is it taking so long? The enemy of God and you and the enemy of you and I would love to convince you it's because your faith isn't working. Or the Word is not working. Ever had that going on in your head? Standing is part of the Word. Having done all to stand, stand. When the enemy says you're having to stand way too long, just say, devil, I'm a doer of the Word, because the Word says to stand. Standing is part of the Word. From the time you make your requests to the time of the manifestation, there's a time span there. There is a span of time. That's when the enemy would like to work in your life. Now, I'm just giving you an example, and you'll think of this. Okay, this is a bingo roller. But this is why he would love to make you think that this isn't working out. These are thoughts going through your head. The Word isn't working this time. It's taking so long. Faith isn't working this time. How is God going to do it? How come someone else didn't receive their healing? How am I supposed to receive mine? Will it work for me? I mean, I've done that, people. Those things have rolled around in my head before. The enemy would love to draw you into the mental arena. Why? To draw you away from your faith. Faith is not in your mind, it's in your spirit. So the whole time you're standing, the enemy is endeavoring to draw you away with trying to get you in the mental arena. You get it? You get what I'm saying? You smell what I'm saying in here. So what are we endeavoring? Stay in the faith arena. Stay in the spirit realm. And most assuredly, stay out of that mental arena, the reasoning and the calculating arena, trying to figure it all out. Now, it's okay if you got a diagnosis. I'm just going to tell you right now. And you tell your mama. You tell your closest friend. But you don't need to tell Facebook. You need to stop talking about it. If you want to say something, say the word. Speak the word over yourself. Don't apply that diagnosis to yourself over and over and over. And if you try to tell me, I don't understand it anyway. I don't know medicines. I know anti-itch cream. And I know neosporin. I'm real good at that with the boys. But when you start putting a flea in the mold, I don't know what you're talking about. So you're wasting your time. You tell me what's wrong and I will pray and I'll put my faith on it. And I will stand. If you'll stay with me, I'll stand. But stop talking diagnosis. Stop talking all that. You're giving glory. You're talking more about what the enemy attacked you with than you are what the Word says about what he said. Attacking you with. So talk the answer. Talk the answer. We know this, people. So, when we're asking how come it takes so long, all these questions that's in the immediate. It's just questions. They're in the mental arena. That's this. In the faith arena, there's no questions. I don't care what it said. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what I feel. I don't care that I'm limping around. I don't care that whatever. I know what my Father said. One of the best ways to stay out of the mental arena is worshiping and praising God. Because when I'm doing the glory, hallelujah, I'm not really thinking about what that long diagnosis is. It anchors you. It holds our attention and our focus on a loving God who happens to be your daddy. It helps us shut out the suggestions of the enemy and his threats. So if you find yourself doubting or questioning the word, your faith, you have got to get out of the mental arena and get back in the faith. We have to stay connected, our spirits on purpose, to stay connected to our faith. Don't we? Amen. The best way to do that is by worshiping and praising. We've all done this, and I mean all, and that includes me. I'm just trying to make us more skillful, okay? And when we pray, we lay hold of things, but when we praise, we win battles. So I'm going to set you up. I'm going to go to another story in the Bible. I'm going to set it up for you, okay? It's in Chronicles, so let me set this. There was three enemy kings who came against God's people, and they joined forces. God's people were horribly, terribly outnumbered. Word came to the king, which is King Jehoshaphat, and he called for the people to come together to fast and to pray and to seek God. The Spirit of the Lord came upon a prophet in their midst. Now, you have to understand, let me do a little thing here. In the Old Testament, God used, he would speak to prophets, and they would speak to the people. The Holy Spirit wasn't living inside of them, so they had to have someone here from God. Then he would, now we have the Holy Spirit. So, Lauren, 2 Chronicles 20. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, and the son of Jael, the son of, in the midst of the assembly. So he spoke to all those. What happened to Sam and Jacob, Fred and George? Yeah. So he set that up. Now go to 15, Lauren. And he said, listen, all of you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord, the prophet speaking here, to you. Don't be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Woo-hoo. The circumstances can be large, and you can seem to be outnumbered. You might be outnumbered, but you are not outpowered. Amen. So God says, don't be afraid or dismayed because this great army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. God gives them a strategy, because this is what he says to do. Verse 16. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will certainly come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Okay. So God told them the battle was not theirs but his, but he did tell them where to go. They still had a part to play. They had to do something. They couldn't just get in their tents and say, I'm scared to death, I'm not doing anything. No. They still had to show up with their faith. Okay, 17. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of God who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed tomorrow. Go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Their part to do. Don't fear. Don't fear. Don't be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Just because it's the Lord's battle doesn't mean we sit back inactive waiting on him to do something. Okay, God, I'm ready whenever you are. That's not what we do. That's not what we do. Verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. They got on their faces and they worshiped the Lord. The whole shooting shebang did. I'll tell you in a minute how many there were. They haven't seen the victory yet play out before them. Just knowing what God had said to them equaled victory. So they worshiped him. They took the stance of worship. Let me tell you what, when you got a pain, an ailment, or whatever, you know what God says? Isaiah 53:5, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. That's enough to worship and get on your face for, and that's what you do. You take your stance. But he says he'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And according to his supply, that's the stance you take. You get on your face and you worship God. They knew God would answer them. Verse 20, Lauren. And they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, now they're in the morning. That was yesterday. This is in the morning. Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets. Remember that just for today. And you shall prosper. We might want to, there's flaky prophets out there, but there's some good ones. Go back and check what their prophecies are and if they've ever been fulfilled. Don't be knocking God's prophets. If you don't like them, just don't listen to them. Okay, that was three. The night before is when God spoke to them. The night before. Hear the prophet of God. Since then, they've gone to bed. There was a lapse of time. You think this might have happened to any of them? You know how many people are out there? We're going to go face them tomorrow. But God said, okay. When they came back the next morning, Jehoshaphat reminds them of what God said. Why? Because over time, people can get in that mental arena and start wondering, start questioning, thinking about their ability and forget what God said. Someone can come into a church and get sincerely prayed for from a faith-believing people. And they can, you know, they can just, whew, that was good. And Tuesday. Maybe that ache still hurts or maybe whatever. So you got to keep at it. You have got to, that's why Jehoshaphat reminded them that morning. So the king reminded them of what God says. That's why we have to tell that need. And tell it what God says. They couldn't just go down mindlessly. They had to go down remembering what God had said. 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and those who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, okay, I'm not there yet. So the king appoints praisers to be up front. Anybody want to be up front? The frontline praise worshipers, warriors. That doesn't seem like a really effective way, war strategy, to say the men with the weapons will be in the back, guys. Don't worry, we're there. There's a bunch back there, but the worshipers up front. But those with words will be up front, not just any words. Praise words. We don't want the scaredy cats. We don't want the complainers. We don't want the ones saying negative things up front. We don't want that are questioning God to be up front. They didn't just say anything. He gave them the appropriate praise words. Our praise words need to be in line with his word. Worship words reflect the word. Okay? We got to be saying, we can't be saying, oh God, I'm sick, my stomach, I want to throw up, but I know you love me, God. That's not worship words. Okay? Not worship words. Okay. Those praisers are on the front line. They will see the enemy first. To give you an idea, the Bible did not, I looked and I looked and I looked. I Googled and I Googled and I Googled and all that. They didn't tell you how big the army was of the three kings, the enemy armies, they didn't tell you. But I can tell you how big the army was of Jehoshaphat. It was 1,160,000. And they're thinking it was 5 to 1. 5 to 1. And they were 1,160,000 fighting men strong. So the worshipers out front were facing a possible 600 million people. So they said what they were told. They better not change their mind when they see the great force waiting on them. Now, the archers are in back. The swords are in back. The worshipers are in front. This is what he said to say. Praise the Lord for his mercy. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine what, 600,000, 300,000 people saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And the king's army is going, doing? What are you doing? When you're facing your own battle, that doesn't really seem like enough. If this was enough for a nation in the face of war, it's enough for anyone who believes. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. They stick with those words, not what they felt, not the threats, not what they saw, or the size of the enemy. They stuck with it. And God will give us what to say. He'll give us what to say over our battle for our health, for our finances, for relationships, our marriage, our family. If you ask God, what's my scripture I'm to stand on? You don't have to know the Bible from page to page to be able to stand on things. God will give you a scripture. He may give you two. Just get with the scripture and believe it. When we put praise in front, we are putting God in front. They knew the outcome, but they had to show up to do their part. Faith and obedience is our part. Power is God's part. They didn't put their marksmen up front. They had to set themselves. They had to stand. And they had to be still. Faith faces things. It doesn't act like the opposition doesn't exist. You've got a brain tumor. Oh, I don't have anything. I'm fine. Your hair's falling out. You can't see. You're losing. Oh, I'm fine. We don't. That's not faith. The ignoring things are not faith. Faces thing. It doesn't act like opposition doesn't exist. Faith faces things, and it refuses to be swayed by what it sees. Don't fear. Don't be dismayed. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't feel like there's no hope or no help or no rescue. If they responded wrong, God could not fight for them. Now, in verse 21, it says the king consulted with them to see who the praises were. So he goes around and he talks to people. Who's the people in your camp that praise God? Who's the people that every day that comes out of their mouth, praise God? I don't want a complainer. I don't want a griper. I don't want a naysayer. Who are your praisers? The people told them. Those are the people. They knew their life. They knew what they were. They knew they were praisers. The ones who would stand their ground were the ones that got to be up first. Now, let me tell you this. No arrow was shot. No, the enemy did not whack anybody down with their swords. But the enemy was utterly destroyed. The enemy armies turned on each other and defeated one another. When God's people arrived, after they got done killing each other, all they saw were their enemies dead. It talks about the corpses laying on the ground. They were left with all of the treasures and an abundance of riches that took 3 days to gather and to carry off back to their camp. Now, they had 1,160,000, and it still took them 3 days for 1 million people to carry off the rubies and the diamonds and all of them. There is a divine defense and divine victories for those who will employ the worship of God. Praise is spiritual warfare. Praise confuses the enemy. Praise disarms fear. Praise declares the battle belongs to the Lord. Hell, Pastor Sammy Rodriguez said this, hell gets numb when heaven hears your praise. If you want God to fight for you, start praising like the battle's already won. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. When we pray, we lay hold of things. But when we praise,